You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. With Indeed sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Don't wait any longer. Speed up your hiring right now with Indeed. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/kidsandfamily. Just go to Indeed.com/kidsandfamily right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
This podcast is sponsored by Talkspace. You know when you're really stressed or not feeling so great about your life or about yourself? Talking to someone who understands can really help. But who is that person? How do you find them? Where do you even start? Talkspace. Talkspace makes it easy to get the support you need. With Talkspace, you can go online, answer a few questions about your preferences, and be matched with a therapist. And because you'll meet your therapist online, you don't have to take time off work or arrange childcare. You'll meet on your schedule, wherever you feel most at ease. If you're depressed, stressed, struggling with a relationship, or if you want some counseling for you and your partner, or just need a little extra one-on-one support, Talkspace is here for you. Plus, Talkspace works with most major insurers, and most insured members have a $0 copay. No insurance? No problem. Now, get $80 off of your first month with promo code SPACE80 when you go to Talkspace.com. Match with a licensed therapist today at Talkspace.com. Save $80 with code SPACE80 at Talkspace.com.
Welcome back to another powerful episode of Solano Moms Building Community and Tomorrow's Table podcast. Today's episode is one that truly reminded us what leadership with heart looks like. We had the honor of sitting down with Hannah Chen, a woman whose dedication to health equity, community investment, and systemic change is nothing short of inspiring. Hannah currently serves as the community health manager at Kaiser and brings over 20 years of experience in public health, arts, and project management. Since 2017, Hannah has managed a 20 million portfolio supporting key initiatives like access to care, mental health, violence prevention, and economic opportunity. Beyond her professional title, Hannah is a visionary and a connector. But what makes today's conversation even more special, today was Hannah's birthday, and instead of taking the day off, she chose to show up and share her insights, passion, and commitment to service with all of us. That's the kind of leadership we admire. So grab your coffee, take a walk, or settle in, because this episode is packed with kind of wisdom that moves you to action and reminds you why community matters. I would like to introduce my co-host today, Patty Phillips.
Hi, Miriam. How you doing?
Good. How are you?
Great, and, as usual.
Oh, great. I'm going to talk more to you, but I was just going to introduce Haley. I haven't seen you
Please, for a while.
I have questions. Haley, how are you?
I'm great. How are you?
I'm good. Thank you. Haley is from our youth podcaster, Tomorrow's Table. Patty, I have to tell you guys, listeners, the other day I was driving. Then Patty is my neighbor. I see her coming from the right with this convertible. I think it's 1940s. What kind of car is it?
1954 MGTF.
Oh, yes. She looked with her husband that she just came out of a movie. I was so jealous. I was about to drop my kids to school. I had a list of things to do, and I see her hair in the wind with her husband.
How fun.
That is real life.
That is real life. Patty, yeah. I'm jealous of you.
I'm sorry. I'm jealous of you in many ways, my dear.
Well, we have a special guest, and we cannot wait to interview her. She's amazing. I have met her once before. We have Hannah Chen, Community Health Manager at Kaiser Permanente. Welcome.
Oh, thank you so much for having me, and it's been such a pleasure. I've been here just a few minutes and just see the connection that you all have, and it's really comforting coming into the space of like moms and women and leaders. You can definitely feel it.
Oh, thank you. Yeah. That's exactly what we want you to feel. Because we all want to connect. And when you have a place where you connect, you feel comfortable, and you want to come again, right?
Definitely. And you want to listen into the podcast.
Exactly. Well, you do have a podcast too, so we'll talk about your podcast later, and I listened to it.
Oh, wow.
Yes. Okay. Yes. Hannah, would you introduce yourself to our listeners and your journey, why you're with Kaiser, all of that?
Sure. So, like you're saying, my name is Hannah Cordero Chen, and I've been with Kaiser Permanente now for, oh my gosh, in July, it's going to be 22 years. Wow. And what really inspired me to get into public health was as a very young child, I spent the summers being like tag teaming or being with my parents because we didn't have like babysitting or childcare available for us. Mm-hmm. And so I was first exposed to public health with working with my dad. During the HIV and AIDS epidemic, he was a health educator, and he was going out to migrant camps, other places where day laborers were, and passing out pamphlets, educating them about HIV and what we knew at that time about AIDS. And he was having those what could be very taboo conversations in the places where people were meeting, waiting for work, and really trying to find ways of keeping a population safe that maybe wasn't getting all of the information because of language barriers or because of just other stigmas around, you know, sexual health, for example. So I remember waiting in the car, and he was like, I'll be right back. And he would take a bag, and he would go up to people that he didn't know and just really finding ways of talking to them about how to take better care of themselves and how to stay healthy in a time where things could feel very dangerous and very taboo, right? And so I was watching him do this. And then my mom was also a social worker in Mexico, where she grew up, a social worker for kids with disabilities or kids with special needs. And so I got to hear their approach to just when you're in community, you contribute to community and you find ways of supporting people and breaking down stigma and just helping people take better care of themselves. And so I think that was ingrained in me. And so all my life, I was like a peer health educator. I was a health worker when I was in college. I always trying to find ways of talking about health. And then I was introduced to theater and how you could utilize theater to talk about sensitive topics like reproductive health.
Oh, wait. Were you involved in the theater that would go like to Jepson and do the play?
Yes.
I love that.
So I was that was my in into Kaiser. And so I came in working with our educational theater program. I had no experience in theater. I did not have a background in the arts at all. But I just really wanted to figure out, how do you talk about complex issues like HIV? How do you talk about complexities around relationships and communication, domestic violence, all of intimate partner violence? How do you do it, but do it in a way where you can welcome people into the conversation instead of like getting, having people feel uncomfortable? How do you create the most comfort around it? Because people were living it. It's part of our communities, right?
Yeah.
So that's where I started.
So you made people laugh.
I did, yeah.
That's the best way.
Yes, it really is.
It was, I looked forward to that every year. I was a teacher at Jepson.
Oh my gosh,
and so I would take my class and we'd go and we'd watch that show. And it was kids climbing on jungle bars and talking about who they were. It was great.
And the name of the show is called Nightmare on Puberty Street.
Yes, right.
Love that.
And so, this is so cool that you remember it.
Oh, I so remember this. It was great.
And so,
good job.
Thank you.
And so, now, Haley, we need to Google it. Is it?
I know.
It's not running anymore. Educational theater or Kaiser Permanente has changed a little bit about the way that we are making our impact because it was part of Northern California. So we toured very intensively here. And now it's how do you scale? How do you like create these models everywhere? And so that's one of the things that Kaiser is working on right now. Mm-hmm. So we can still serve schools. We can still serve youth. But doing it at scale. So revamping that, and the subject matters are different because now it's how do you talk about social media or incorporating that? And then mental health and all of those issues. So it's definitely changing and how do you
it's
keep
like
up with
evolving
the times?
To
yeah,
it
evolves
yes,
for
it
sure.
Is.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Well, you manage a $15 million grant portfolio at Kaiser Permanente. What is your approach when deciding which community initiatives to fund, and how do you ensure equity in those decisions?
That's a great question. And so throughout my career as a grant maker here at Kaiser Permanente, now I think since I shared that, I think now it's maybe closer to maybe 20, 25 million overall. And so, and you know, they can be year-long grants, two-year grants. So accumulatively, that's how much I've managed throughout like this, maybe the last 8 years, 9 years, something like that. And the way in which what guides our grant making is that maybe not a lot of people know, but Kaiser Permanente is a nonprofit hospital system. Mm-hmm. And so part of that is that we have to reinvest back in community. But what's great with Kaiser is that it's been part of our mission since it was established. So it's, you know, not only about providing quality, affordable healthcare to our members, but improving the lives of the communities that we serve. So I get to do that latter part of our mission, right? Get to work with communities. And so part of that work is engaging in a community health needs assessment process every 3 years where we go to community and ask, what are we seeing? What are you all experiencing? What kind of trends are there? So looking at reports and data that our nonprofit partners are putting out, that the counties are also creating. And then from there, we take all that data, we work with great consultants to then really look at what are the prioritized health needs. And so then looking at those health needs or like what's rising to the top, then all of our grant making strategies align with that. So it's not like, oh, what do I want to see? Or how do I think Kaiser should invest their dollars? Or even like our physicians or our staff? No, it's a community driven process. And what's really interesting is that over like say the last 10 years, before we were looking at like people would say childhood obesity, you know, like something or chronic diseases, which still come up, right? We still have a lot of work to do and a lot of folks still need help. But what is coming up now is those upstream causes. Like, how are people supposed to be worried about taking their insulin if they don't have a refrigerator to put it in? Or like, if, you know, housing is unstable, then we know that people aren't going to be able to take the best care of themselves that they can. And so then really figuring out how do we... as an organization or as a healthcare organization, fund in these prioritized health needs. So now we're looking at access to care and coverage. So making sure that people can access quality medical care, and then also addressing the social determinants of health that impact people. So if people don't have, you know, they have limited, like a limited budget every month, and they're having to make decisions between prescriptions and food or paying rent. Yes. Mm-hmm. Those are some really tough decisions that are ultimately going to impact our mental health, our stress levels. Mm-hmm. And then, you know, if adults are feeling it, then the kids are feeling it in the household. So really making sure that we can hear what community is saying that they're experiencing, and then building some strategies around like how do we address those needs. Yeah. Mental health is definitely one of the biggest needs that continues to come to the rise to the top when we do our assessments. And so it's how do we provide mental health care or mental health access to resources where people are, like schools or community groups.
Wow, that was a lot and great information.
I'm talking too much.
No, that's why you're here.
Exactly. So from what I got, it's mostly region-based, right? So you serve, from what I know, Solano County and Napa.
Correct.
There are cities, obviously, in Solano County and Napa. So how do you get, like Fairfield, the demographic is different than Vacaville to Vallejo. How do you study like what Vallejo needs, what Vacaville needs, what Fairfield needs?
Oh, thanks for asking that, because it is hospital specific. So we have community health needs assessment reports for Vacaville, which covers like say Vacaville, Dixon, Rio Vista, Fairfield. And then we have our Vallejo report, which covers Vallejo, Benicia, so the southern part of Solano County, and Napa County.
Oh, good to know.
Yeah.
And those are all public facing. They're publicly available. Yeah. Happy to share links with the listeners if they're curious to know more.
Yes. When your episode airs, we would love to do that.
Yep. Happy to share.
Thank you. And as a mom and community health advocate, how do you personally balance professional leadership with your passion for wellness and family? I see your smile. Viewers, if you could only see that.
Oh my gosh. Like, it's like that one thing of like, oh, we always want to do better, right? As moms, like we want to get it right and we want to have everything perfect and our house clean and this, like everything. And then we want to
the conversation we were having just
right before you
arrived.
Yes. Because they were telling me your house is so clean. I said, yeah, you haven't seen downstairs.
Yeah. And then we want to show up in our professional life just like that too. We want to give our all and we want to do it and we want to make the change and we want to be our best selves. And it's like the self-care, it comes in seasons. Like last year I was out for a lot of the year on maternity leave because I was pregnant and I gave birth 6 weeks early. I got preeclampsia and I ended up in the hospital for 9 days or 10 days, and then my daughter was in the NICU and then my husband was with my six-year-old daughter at home. And that struggle of self-care and perfection, I mean, it hit me pretty hard because I couldn't do all the things.
Yes. Right.
I left my work like it was like somebody came up to my, you know, like virtual desk and just shook everything up, threw everything in the air, and it fell where it fell, and I couldn't fix it. And I really wanted to, right? I had thinking about one of my colleagues having to take on more work because I had to be out, stressed me out. Having to then tell people like I can't do it and I'm out now 6 weeks before I even thought I was going to be on leave. It really shook things up, and last year was a...
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job post seen on other job sites. With Indeed sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Don't wait any longer. Speed up your hiring right now with Indeed. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/kidsandfamily. Just go to Indeed.com/kidsandfamily right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Huge year of reflection and really thinking about, like, how do I show up, right, at this point in my career? Because I'm an older mom.
Yes.
Like, I want to show up and be in places of leadership. I want to be able to influence, but I also have to take care of myself. And I have to surrender to the fact that I'm still on blood pressure medication, right? From what has come up from before, and, you know, dealing with hypertension or like high blood pressure, right? And then dealing with kids. I have a second grade or a soon to be second grader and a 1 year old. Like, how do you really balance it all? And you gotta have the seasons where, you know, it might be that just even going for a walk, a 20-minute walk is going to be enough self-care to then maybe then in my head I'm planning a vacation in a couple of weeks from now where I'm hoping to get like a spa day, you know, like, and it changes.
Especially, I have kids around your age.
Yeah.
I feel like going to Costco is a luxury for me.
Right? Yeah.
So when I go to Costco, I'm like, wow, I have like a minute because mine is 5 and 9. And it's consistent. And like you said, if you don't put that time, you feel guilty yourself. You feel like, am I a bad mom? Am I doing this? So, and your position is even, you have a 20 million portfolio. So yours is way there. I can, you know, I admire what you're doing.
And what's great, thank you. And I think having spaces like this and being able to just be vulnerable and be like, hey, my house is a mess. Like, and it's going to be messy and it's going to look lived in, like,
right.
And I'm not going to compete. I'm not here to compete with like Instagram influencers. Like, that is not my job. And still like that, like the highlight reels, right? Everybody's highlight reels is still in my head. And I've had those moments where I'm like comparing myself, right?
Yeah.
And it's just like really thinking about like, what are my values? Like I have to do that conversation all the time of like, what are my values? And am I living to those values?
Yep.
And if it's showing up to work and just giving it what I got for a day and then the next day, like figuring out and like struggling through or whatever, like it's not going to be like, it may not be consistent right now, right? And I'm grateful that I have a really wonderful team and we're all parents, right? People Correct. Have pickups and drop-offs yeah. and sports mm-hmm. and that's the reality of it. And if, you know, thank goodness for like mobile phones or like our phones and we can reply to emails later or like during practice or like you just got to find it, but it's never like a true balance. It's a give and take every day. Yes. And it's like you do takeout on one day, you cook a great like meal prep, you know, on a Sunday on another week, but mm-hmm. it's not always going to be consistent and that's okay.
I love your honesty and transparency. If the listeners, the moms that are going through this, seeing someone like you, a leader saying that it's okay to do these things, I think it will help them. I wish when we were younger, I was actually talking to Patty and Pokin before the episode started, how when you're a first-time mom, how much pressure is on you. Okay. And nobody tells you, no, just take a minute. They still expect more from you. So having that voice that you're saying is appreciable and we can all relate to that.
Yeah. And I think what is consistent is that you are showing up yeah. even when it's 10%, even when it's 20%, even when it's 100%, like what's consistent is that you're present, you're showing up, you're there. And that over time, I think it's a lot of, especially as women too, because we want to nurture everybody. We want to take care of everybody. But when we show up consistently with what we have, and with our whole hearts, that's really where our power lies.
Yeah.
And I have two daughters. Like, I have girls. I want them to see me struggle sometimes and sometimes just be like, hey, I need help.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Because I want them to be able to ask for help. Because I remember the firstborn. And I remember I thought I had something to prove.
Yep.
I remember thinking that I had to prove that I could do it like my mom.
Yes.
That I could do it like this and that I could be the best. I got it.
I think we all got failed in that.
It's like, good job. Yeah, no, that didn't work. So trying something different. And always trying something different, right? I tell my daughter, I'm experimenting today. Let's see how it goes.
Yeah, I love that. Tell us a little bit more about what the Closed Loop Community Resource Network is and what does the system mean for families who need support and how is it going to improve access to care?
Oh, yeah. Awesome. So the Closed Loop referral refers to the relationship that Kaiser Permanente has established with this. It's a tech company called Unite Us. And Unite Us was founded by Dan Brillman and Taylor Justice in 2013. And they were two vets who had come back after, you know, being deployed and coming back stateside and realizing that it was really hard to get resources. And how valuable it would be, because right now we have like a traditional way of getting resources where say that I come to you and I'm like, hey, I need support with like, say, like a food bank or even like mental health resources. And then somebody would write down like, call this NAMI number or call this food bank and they'll let you know like about the resources or go on their website. Well, with what this closed loop referral system does is that it would gather all of community organizations on a network where they can make referrals to one another. Yeah. And so if I come in and I'm like, hey, I need these supports and I need food, say I need like food resources and mental health supports or something like that. And then all of the referrals can just be made by whether it's like a Kaiser Permanente social worker or somebody at the food bank, because Food Bank of Contra Costa and Solano is one of the members that's on this closed loop referral system. Mm-hmm. Or even Meals on Wheels, right? Mm. I go in and I'm like, hey, I need the home-delivered meals. So they can do that, give me that direct referral, and then somebody calls me. And then they're like, oh, you need something else? They'll make a referral to Resource Connect Solano, who also does housing. So it can all be done on this one platform where a case can be made for a family or an individual and they don't have to keep telling their story. They don't have to go to this place and that place, but it could all be done on this closed loop network. And also it works hand in hand with like 211. And then now we've added like the no wrong approach where people can self-refer into the network for Kaiser Permanente, like members or anybody who has the 1-800 number can go right into this network. It's just really trying to facilitate and really meet those social health, the social health needs, transportation, housing, food, really trying to address those needs so that people can have better access and like building community, right? Mm-hmm. Because once you have that form of collaboration for these nonprofit groups, we can continue to find ways of them working together.
So how do people access that?
So if nonprofit partners want to join the network, they can reach out to me. And again, we can put it in the podcast notes of how to do that, because Kaiser Permanente will pay the licensing of nonprofit partners to join. VEST, which is a domestic violence support organization here in Solano County, they are one of the organizations that does a lot of referrals on this network for their clients. And so we have that's just an example of it, but we pay for licensure to get them on. You can get data. It's a great way to have access to data for funders, or if you want to apply for funding and say, we're connecting to these other organizations, or we've made this many referrals, and this was what the referrals were for. It's a great way to track.
Wow, that's great.
Yeah, I'm going to look into that one. Definitely. Mental health, especially for parents and youth, has become a growing concern. What is Kaiser Permanente doing locally to expand mental health support in our community?
Yep. And so Kaiser Permanente, we are a healthcare provider. We know that there's a lot of need for mental health services. And sometimes people feel like, oh my gosh, I haven't gotten a call back, or I put in a referral and I'm not getting, you know, access to a mental health care provider. We understand that. Please keep on like pinging or talking to your healthcare team. There are a lot of options. So it's like getting in to do an assessment. I know that Kaiser Permanente also links members to, like telehealth options, or there's a lot of different options to support. In addition, we are doing funding in community to support the increase of mental health supports in community. And so I know that we've done some sponsorships for NAMI. We've also funded Aldea to do substance use support in community. We also work with other community groups to do mental health advocacy and support, like Fighting Back Partnership, which is a family resource center in Vallejo. We've done work for them to do youth-led advocacy for mental health, as well as doing parent groups so that we can have those places where we can talk about mental health issues and like lessen the stigma.
Yeah. Right.
Because we know that it is such a big topic. And when we're looking at data, we know that, you know, it's people need it, whether it's like, you know, we have the spectrum, right? It's like, whether it's like anxiety, depression, or mental health, like substance use disorders, mm-hmm. or schizophrenia, like it could be a variety, and we need to make sure that we can have those resources out in community so that we can meet those needs. Mm-hmm. And so there's many ways that we try to do it, whether it's through grant making, partnership, or even the Unite Us platform, like mm-hmm. I mentioned, like that's also a way to help to increase those mental health resources in our community.
Great. Yeah, that's great. It's so important to have the tools out there for people to have access to, because like we've talked so much, like this isn't always been the case. And so I think it's really great that you're part of that and getting those resources out there. And we actually kind of talked about this with the chief of police, because there's so many different parts and nuances to all of this. When you talk about health from a community lens, there's the individual and there's the resource the police officers offer. And there's also like, what's the line? What's the line of a health provider getting involved versus a police officer when things escalate? And so for you, what does violence prevention look like from a public health lens? And what strategies are currently being used here in Solano County?
Yeah, that's a great question. And actually, I brought some notes for this because when we're talking about public health approach to violence, as well as it has to work hand in hand with the criminal justice approach as well.
Right.
Like, but they're two different things, but like there's a way to bring them together. Mm-hmm. And there's a great example of that happening in Solano County around gun violence. Oh. And there's a really amazing partner. Her name is Dr. Dion Carter. She's amazing. And she's helping to bring people together around like the crime prevention, or like crime violence intervention network. Mm-hmm. And we're starting in Vallejo to really look at how do you approach violence? And especially because we know that there's a lot of gun violence happening in Vallejo, right? And of course, I mean, throughout the county, because it's not just isolated. It's definitely a part of, mm-hmm. of all of our communities. But how do you bring together the public health approach to violence, right? So it's like, how do you look at prevention mm-hmm. and addressing the root causes of violence, right? So things like poverty, or things like lack of education or lack of community resource, and identifying the risks, but also looking at the protective factors, right? Mm-hmm. So what good, what sustainability, what things are happening in a community that help to prevent violence? Mm-hmm. So like, where are those youth groups? How do we continue to provide support for those, right? Or groups for moms, for example. And then looking at implementing the prevention strategies. Mm-hmm. So if we know that poverty can give way to violence, well, then how do we create career paths? How do we start that career exposure or support for families, for example? And so really looking at some of the strategies around like community engagement, data-driven interventions, looking at things like social determinants. So I talked about poverty, lack of education, things like that, and then building up those protective factors and including the community to have them feel empowered to be able to do something, right? And then that works right hand in hand with the criminal justice approach, right? Mm-hmm. Where it's like their job is to respond when we need support, right? Yeah. So it's like responding to the violence through law enforcement and also the court systems. So I know here in Solano County, we have like really great like mental health courts. We have a great support system in our courts. So bringing all of those partners together and knowing that we have the same goals, right? Mm-hmm. We have different paths to get there. So how do we work collaboratively? And so that's one of the big things that like Dion Carter is doing, bringing all of us together to the table. So you have the police chiefs, you have council members, you have people in the health field, you have lots of different community-based organizations, and really looking at it as like, we can all play a part into bringing a light or shedding a light on what are the factors that lead to violence, and then what can we do in our community that's localized mm-hmm. and unique, and we can do it together. Like, nobody has to do it alone.
Right. That's great. Do you find that the communities themselves are receptive when this approach is taken?
When they're included, right? Mm-hmm. So we have to include them. I remember I'm part of the steering committee for this network, and we're like, we need youth.
Right.
We need youth at the table. We need lived experience or making sure that.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job post seen on other job sites. With Indeed sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Don't wait any longer. Speed up your hiring right now with Indeed. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/kidsandfamily. Just go to Indeed.com/kidsandfamily right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
We have the right lived experience that we have a place to for people to process and then move the work forward.
And then we're talking, as you're talking, sharing about how you go to communities and make impact. Do you have a specific story where your grant making or community partnership directly change a life or uplift a neighborhood?
Oh my gosh, there's so many. So today's my birthday.
What?
Today's my birthday.
Happy birthday.
And I thank
you.
You
should have told us.
Thank you.
Now I feel bad. We don't have a cake.
Yeah. Oh, no. I do not need more cake in my life right now. No, this is a gift.
Happy birthday.
And thank you. I'm really grateful. Like last year was like hard, right? It was a difficult year. And I'm like, well, what are the things that are really sustaining me? And oh my goodness, I was going through like the progress reports of like the grantees that I work with, and they're sharing stories about like individuals that they're working with, like how that life-changing work. And I remember right now what's coming to mind is with Meals on Wheels Solano. Oh my gosh, they shared a story of this woman who was homebound, because they serve homebound folks. Yeah. She had run out of food, could not leave her house, didn't have like the right like community in place, and she calls Meals on Wheels and she's like in tears and she's like, I haven't eaten for 2 days. I don't know what I'm gonna do. And they have a wait list for their home delivery meals. Like, I don't even know for how long, like how long the list is, but somebody showed up at her door with like a box of like emergency food. And that human connection, giving somebody like food.
I know, it's like, wait, what year are we living
exactly,
in?
Right. Exactly. And we are like in the richest nation, in the richest region.
Exactly.
Like, oh, it's just unbelievable. But it's not even just the food. Like, it's also like that social connection that somebody showed up at her door without her having to wait and said, here you go. And that she was in tears. And she said, thank you so much that somebody cared about her. Like, those are like examples. And I know that there's probably so many more.
We actually did work with Meals on Wheels. It was about, I believe, 2 months ago. We went delivered meals to the seniors. Yes. I must say, for myself and my youth podcasters, it was an unforgettable experience. We go to a lot of interviews, we do things, but this one was very rewarding, I would say. A, like you said, it's the human connection. When we went knocked on these elderly and senior homes, it also brings us a reminding our own parents. And also, we will be at that stage, and you would hope that someone will come knock on your door, and when there's no one, to bring food, but also take a minute to conversate with you. I mean, these individuals wanted to talk to us for hours. Obviously, we didn't have that time, but just you could see that they crave conversation, human connection, as we all do. But these individuals are more in home, like they can't, they have harder time to go out. So I'm so happy you work with Meals on Wheels, and it's amazing how that changes people. Because as a young girl, I never knew. I thought Meals on Wheels was just delivering meals. I didn't know how much impactful it is in a community. We're actually doing a fan drive, Pokemon and I, on the 3rd. On the 3rd, we're going dropping fans for Meals on Wheels. It is very important, like before the podcast that I mentioned to you, to take care of our seniors, our youth, and all of us in collaboration working, because sometimes I feel like the elderly are becoming the forgettable generation. And I actually hear it from my own mom, and my dad passed away. He used to even tell us, you know what, you guys don't call me as much. And now that he's gone, I think to my head, he was right, because I didn't see that. Now that he's gone, I see I should have called more. I should have done this. And this just doesn't go for my dad. This goes for all our elderly population. I'm sure they feel the same.
Oh my gosh, yeah. And I think right now what's coming up for me is like, with all the stress that we feel, or like the quote unquote, like needing to be professional, it's like, how do you continue to keep your humanity close to you? To humanize the folks that you're the folks that you're working with, or like when you're doing any type of work, when you're giving of yourself, like really allowing yourself that vulnerability to keep your humanity in the face of whatever comes our way, because that's what's going to matter. And like that's how we can show up, like we can show up authentically, right? And when we have a little bit of that vulnerability and realizing that like that people connection is what matters, and that we can do it with our heart. And some days we may not be able to give all of our heart because we are just having a day, but even if it's like that little bit that we can do to just hold on to that, I think is important. And I wanted, can I share one more mom story?
Of course.
Oh my gosh. So Abode Housing Services, they provide housing services in Napa County and Solano County. And I was reading through some of the work that they do, because they also have a stabilization fund where they can help get people housed, or like provide like Our funds can go into like providing furniture, for example, something to keep like people wanting to be housed and having them feel valued. Like, yes, you deserve to be housed. And there was a story about a mom in Vallejo living in her car with four kids.
Oh, wow.
They were able to work with her. And she had a voucher. She had a Section 8 voucher. Being able to work with her, find the right housing, it took less than $1,000 to get her and her four kids housed.
Oh, my goodness. Wow.
Sometimes we think that it is impossible. Sometimes we think, oh, well, you know, people, like, it may take thousands and thousands of dollars of investment. When you're able to put together, like, the resources, they put in less than $1,000 to get her housed. Mm. And she is in permanent supportive housing with case management and everything. Wow. And that changes, that's intergenerational change. Yeah. Because it's not just for her, but it's also for her kids. Absolutely. So there's people that are doing really, really, really great work in our community. Mm-hmm. Right. Really great partners.
That is so encouraging.
Just me smiling.
So you sit on several advisory boards and initiatives. How important is it to bring community voice, especially from women and parents, into decision-making spaces?
Vital. It really is. And I'm glad that I can bring my experience, but it's always like, how do you make sure that we can make room at the table for other folks to tell their stories? And we bring up names, we bring up other stories, we bring up communities so that we know that, like, there is other stuff happening that I may not know firsthand, but like that lived experience, because that's what's going to influence policy. That's what's going to influence where money goes and how systems are shaped. And so we are, I'm at the place where it's like, you know, I'm on some like advisory boards and steering committees and things like that, and always thinking about who's not at the table. Mm-hmm. Who do we need to bring in? What data can we bring in to better understand it? Because especially with moms and youth, they're very important voices. Mm-hmm. I mean everybody, right? But really making sure that everybody can be represented. Not everybody can always be represented, but that we're really looking at community and thinking about who's missing, what's missing here. Mm-hmm. So we've heard from this group, or we've heard from this. Well, where else can we seek? And I don't know. Like I think about moms, and moms are so resourceful. I mean, so are dads. I mean, everybody, right? Anybody who's taking care of families. Really amazing stories, and just really thinking about how do we provide that space. And sometimes it can mean that maybe we can't meet after hours. Maybe we have to meet during the workday, or like thinking about where and how we can meet folks, and maybe meeting over coffee or virtually, because not everybody can get to the same place at the same time. Mm-hmm. So, but it is vital to include those voices.
Agreed. Yeah, that's great. As someone who manages big community projects, what advice would you give to youth who want to be part of making changes in their own neighborhoods?
Oh, that's a great question. I think really understanding that sometimes you may feel like an individual and that you may not have a lot of power, but you really do. Mm-hmm. You can influence. And especially if you have things that you're passionate about, like, you know, that whole thing about like, yeah, we want to do everything, right? Mm-hmm. We feel like we have to do everything. You can do lots of things. Maybe you can't do them at the same time. But like really thinking about what, I think for you, thinking about like, where do you see yourself fitting in? What mm-hmm. are your values? Like doing a value exercise. Mm-hmm. Like there are like places online where you can look, and there are like, you can look up like, what are different values? Getting a list of like 100 values and going through it and picking your top five so that you can hold on to like what matters to you, and then you can find out how you can help in a community. Because you're not going to be like, say, you know, thinking about like responding to like fire, like a fire, right? An emergency. We can't be everywhere. Mm-hmm. We can't do everything, but we can do something. So then being prepared and figuring out, well, how can I help? What can I do? And maybe that's through policy building. Maybe that's through direct service. Maybe that's through like collecting data and being a researcher. There could be lots of different things, but really trying to figure out where do you fit in and not feeling like you have to do what everybody else is doing. And, you know, growing up there, like we are always like shown like, oh, are you, what do you want to be when you grow up? Mm-hmm. I didn't know that my job existed. I didn't know about philanthropy, or I thought philanthropy was like for very, very rich people and very, very, you know, certain type of folks. But it's like, really thinking about exposure, or if something is of interest, reach out to that person, ask questions, do those informational interviews, but with that in mind of like what your values are, what's driving you to do that work. And I think that will be helpful.
We had friends years ago who were very intelligent parents, and they would bring home people who did different jobs, like cool jobs, you know, aeronautics or doctors. They would bring them home to dinner, and the kids would sit at the table and talk with these people and learn about what they did. And it really guided where they went as they grew older. And I love the idea of just getting a list of values. And because if you can identify what you believe in, if you can say those words, I think that's going to help you stay focused on what you're supposed to be doing. So can you explain what a medical legal partnership is and why it's important for young people and families to know about?
Oh, awesome. Okay. So medical legal partnership, there could be lots of different models of this, but what I'll share a little bit of is the medical legal partnership that Kaiser Permanente has with local legal providers or legal assistance providers. And so we know, for example, like in Solano County, especially during the pandemic and even after, we knew that a lot of people are going to be displaced. We know that a lot of people are currently displaced because we don't have things like, say, rental, like what is it, like rent protections or like, oh my gosh, now I'm in a blank. But there's not lots of limitations on like how much you can increase rents, for example. So sometimes with families on very low budget, like rent control, thank you.
Yes.
There's no rent control. And so there's not a lot of protection. So what happens if somebody is going to be dealing with evictions, for example? And so Kaiser Permanente has a relationship with Legal Services of Northern California, based here in Vallejo and in Sacramento, where say that somebody comes in during a screening and they tell the social worker, right? Or like during one of their sessions or as they're getting evaluated with like one of our care team members, that maybe they're dealing with an eviction or they're at risk of getting eviction. One of our employee or one of our social work teams can go directly to and have a consult with Legal Services of Northern California to say, hey, I have this patient, they're dealing with this, can they meet with you? And so then they can receive legal advice on where they are with their eviction, whether it's a 3-day notice, a 60-day notice, or maybe their landlord has told them, well, we're thinking about doing some improvements to the building and we need to move you out, something like that. Or even mitigation, like say, for example, if somebody has mold in their house, or they need a ramp in their front door, and so they need to have like some type of letter to their landlord about like some living accommodations or reasonable accommodations that need to be made, then we can work through the care team and legal services to be able to provide a livable place or make it livable for that patient. And so there are really great medical legal partnerships that exist throughout the nation. And we are newer to this here in our Solano area, and also with Napa. But we're learning a lot as we go. And how do we educate our care teams to be able to provide these resources for when we screen our patients who come in and need the services?
And these are for Kaiser members, correct?
Kaiser members. Yep.
But legal services will work with anybody. They've come to to NAMI and spoken before, and we send people to them.
Oh, it's called Legal Services?
Legal Services Northern. Of Northern California, and they have a Vallejo office, but they serve all of Solano County.
Oh, good to know.
This podcast is sponsored by Talkspace. You know when you're really stressed or not feeling so great about your life or about yourself? Talking to someone who understands can really help. But who is that person? How do you find them? Where do you even start? Talkspace. Talkspace makes it easy to get the support you need. With Talkspace, you can go online, answer a few questions about your preferences, and be matched with a therapist. And because you'll meet your therapist online, you don't have to take time off work or arrange childcare. You'll meet on your schedule, wherever you feel most at ease. If you're depressed, stressed, struggling with a relationship, or if you want some counseling for you and your partner, or just need a little extra one-on-one support, Talkspace is here for you. Plus, Talkspace works with most major insurers, and most insured members have a $0 copay. No insurance? No problem. Now, get $80 off of your first month with promo code SPACE80 when you go to Talkspace.com. Match with a licensed therapist today at Talkspace.com. Save $80 with code SPACE80 at Talkspace.com.
Why is it important for young people to be involved in conversations around economic opportunity and healthcare access? We talked about this a little bit, but a little bit more why the voice of youth is important. We even talked about it before our podcast.
Yeah. Well, it's... youth have a different perspective than we do, right? I've been in this position. I've been at Kaiser for 22 years. My lived experience is going to be very different. Even when I worked with youth, like it's been a while since I've done that, right? And so it's like really understanding from their perspective, how are they viewing education? What do they see as issues in their community? And then being able to then do something about it, right? And so, and especially because they have a different insight on technology, some of the jobs that these youth are going to be having, that our kids are going to have later, we don't even know, like they don't even exist yet.
Yeah. Wow. Yeah.
And so then they should have a voice into shaping it. And so I know there's an organization called Club Stride in Vallejo that they do lots of great work. Dr. Rhonda, she's the ED there. And really thinking about how do you get youth exposed to different career paths. And I think they're working specifically with like marketing, public health, communications, and social media, and getting them to really think about these issues from their perspective to then think, be like part of the solution. Mm-hmm. And so right now there's so much uncharted territory. There's so many innovations that need to be made. And for us who are in it day to day, sometimes it's hard to think outside the box. Like we need like brains, we need new thinking. But that closed loop referral system that I talked about, that's like public health innovations. And we need more of that.
Yeah.
We need to be more creative in thinking about housing solutions, right? Or like, how do we really rethink our institutions? And that's why we need youth. Because we've been here for a long time. It's sometimes hard to be creative. We need those new perspectives.
Yeah. Yeah, I love that. I actually, Haley's here with our youth podcaster. Working with the youth podcasters, I see such a different and beautiful view of things. Because as a mom, I am usually thinking how I can protect the kid. You know how as a mom brain is. But when talking to Haley and the rest of the youth podcasters, they have a different view. Seeing it as like the only word I could say is beautiful, because also they put their voice and now their voice comes a movement for tomorrow.
Yes.
Where they will make
exactly.
It's gonna be their world and our children, they're gonna be the leaders of our children, and isn't that beautiful when they are doing community outreach, then our children are gonna look up to them, they want to be, then it becomes this resourceful community.
Exactly. And so I think about it now for where I am in my career, I don't want to do everything. I think about like other leadership positions and stuff, and I'm like, that sounds great, but I would rather be a consultant to like youth and like innovation and like movement, right?
Yeah.
Something just a little bit different. So
I
yeah,
think you
I
and
totally
me need to work
that.
Together.
Yeah. I know. Let's do it. Let's
I'm like,
do it.
How do you want to join?
Coffee.
Yep, exactly.
Actually, I owe you a coffee because of your birthday now.
Oh my gosh, we'll do
right.
it. We'll
yes.
bring my mom. I'm there.
So talking about youth, what are some of the biggest public health challenges facing youth in our area? And what are we doing to address that?
Yep. We've mentioned mental health resources and ensuring that that young people can really begin to understand where to seek resources, talking to each other, having that peer-to-peer support, building out like that that infrastructure, right? Of really like that collaborative, that you're not in it alone. Like this is a village. And really making sure that like our school sites, like where are, like, identifying those anchor institutions or those anchors in community that aren't going to go anywhere. Mm-hmm. So we know we have schools, we have even churches, we have other community-based organizations, we have community centers. How do we think about those spaces differently so that we can build community or have youth be able to feel like they can... that they can feel welcome in those spaces, because they are like those belong to us. Libraries, schools, community groups, parks. Like how do we re-envision or reimagine those places so that youth can have like know that they have a space there? And then with economic opportunity, one of the things that's happening in Solano County is that we're growing, right? Our populations are also shifting. So we see that our population of older adults is getting bigger, and a lot of our youth who are graduating or maybe like of working age, they see like things that are looking kind of shiny in other places in the Bay Area, and they want to migrate or work there. How do we create or really put a spotlight on economic opportunity here in the county?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And I'm thinking about like the Solano Economic Development Corporation, whose ED is Chris Rico. He's amazing. And it's like, how do we work with organizations like that to really spotlight what are the growing industries here and really preventing like brain drain? So for me, I grew up in Solano County. I went to school K through 12th grade here in Fairfield. I moved out for school. I was living in Berkeley, Oakland area for many years. And then when I heard about this position at Kaiser, I'm like, oh my gosh, I want to go back. How do we make it so that there are opportunities for youth and for people to want to stay here and like raise a family? Because this is a great place to raise a family. Mm-hmm. You have parks, you have easy access to like so many like places, Sacramento, San Francisco, Berkeley, amazing institutions. You have Cal Maritime, Tarot University, like Solano Community College has an amazing, like amazing programs. Mm-hmm. How do we get people to want to stay here? And so really thinking about that for like career exploration, getting folks like a view into that for youth, I think would be great. And saying like, there's a future here for you.
That's great. I love that. How can students or youth leaders connect with organizations like Kaiser Permanente or others to be part of health equity work?
Reach out. If you are interested, if there's an organization that you are interested in, reach out to them. Thinking, use AI to do a templated email to them, you know, right. To do an informational interview, shadowing for even 2 hours or a day to really learn about the work that's being done. And if anybody's interested in Kaiser, reach out to me. There's no wrong door approach. We can find a way for you to connect with somebody. I recently connected somebody, one of our IT directors, our IT leads here in Napa Solano. She's a kick-ass mom, excuse my language, and leader, and connecting her to a Napa Community College student who's like, I'm into IT, but I don't know what it looks like for healthcare. Well, then let's connect you to somebody and have a 30-minute conversation and ask some questions. Because that's how you can start to really figuring out, like, paving your path or, like, looking into it, right? Or just being more open or seeing what opportunities are out there. But reach out. Just ask the questions. Like, sometimes we think, oh, my gosh, I don't have the perfect GPA. Or, oh, I don't have what this other person does. Or I don't have this many community service hours. It doesn't matter. Like, if you have a passion or an interest, reach out.
That's a good thing for all the listeners. Mm-hmm. Reach out to Hannah.
Your email's going to be flooded.
Or there's like so many other amazing people here in Solano County. Or reach out and I can make those connections. That's what I love to do. I want to be a connector and a networker.
That.
Yes. Like, let's bring folks together. So however I can do that, match. I'm like, I can be like a matchmaker in other ways.
Business matchmaker.
Yes.
So you've also explored healing through podcasts like Vegetation, Meditation, and Community. What role does mindfulness play in your work and your own well-being?
Oh my gosh. During COVID, when everything shut down and we were isolated at home and realizing that there was a lot going on and I couldn't see my friends, the only way to do it was through Zoom. Mm. And I was like, oh my gosh, I need to meditate. Like, I need to find ways of being more mindful because this is really stressful and this is really scary. And seeing so many of my friends like having to like homeschool from home, people losing jobs, even going to Costco, right? We were talking about Costco earlier, like even doing that was really scary, and wiping down groceries and not even knowing what was gonna happen next, right? I was like, I gotta find a way to really calm my anxiety and really find ways of like grounding. And so I started meditating with a friend who was, her background is more in like yoga, mindfulness. And we started meditating online, and then we started recording it. And then we made a podcast to talk about it. Because one of the things that we were really finding was, you know, a lot of things that were coming up were like things that were like shameful or like things that were, you know, being scared. Mm-hmm. I feel scared in these moments, or I don't know what to do. sometimes saying that out loud can feel very scary because you don't want to be seen as incompetent. Mm-hmm. You don't want to be seen as a bad mom. You don't want to be seen as a bad employee or a bad partner, right? Mm-hmm. And a lot of that stuff was coming out, and then we were able to process it. Mm-hmm. And then we're like, oh my gosh, these are all very human things to feel. Mm-hmm. And it's not about feeling emotional, but it's about processing the emotions and being able to identify, like, I feel scared, or like, okay, I feel, maybe not scared isn't the right word, but maybe I feel uncomfortable with what I'm feeling, and that's making me feel scared. And being able to like really make time for that was really important to get through a really tough time. I think that many people had, right? Oh, yeah. And now I'm in a new season in my life, and I've dropped off on doing that podcast. I am not meditating for an hour, like three times a week as I was doing it before, or like, oh, I think I was doing it like meditating like every single day. Wow. And I would love to get back there. I would love to be reincorporating it. And it's just right now, the season that I'm in with a young kid, my daughter, she's still not wanting to wean. If somebody has any ideas of how to like wean a child who is very stubborn about it, please let me know, because breastfeeding
I will let
is really
you know.
I've been through it. I think I can help.
Oh my gosh, please. Seriously,
for 3.5 years, my last one.
Oh my gosh, like I don't think I can do it.
Yeah.
I cannot go that long. And so it's like, how, like thinking about just like, and because I'm not doing my mindfulness practices as I once was, like I'm not failing at it, but it's just, I need to figure out what it looks like now. And then understanding again with my values of like, it's still something that is really important to me. Mm. Art is still, I'm not doing the theater anymore. Mm. Right. But art and beauty are still really important to me. So how am I incorporating art in my house? How am I incorporating it with like, what I'm looking at or how I'm spending my time on social media? Like maybe I'm looking at more art stuff and more beautiful stuff, right? It's just really giving grace. If anything, that's what I learned from that podcast era. And I hope to do it and finding a new way of doing it. But
that's
evolving.
Giving grace is a wonderful thing.
Yes.
If more people would give grace to each other, our world would be a much different place.
Oh, yeah.
Giving grace.
And giving grace, starting with ourselves.
Yeah.
Right?
True.
And then being able to show up in that way for others. Because if we don't give it to ourselves, if we don't give ourselves that space, we're going to be less likely to give it to others, because we're going to hold those high expectations on ourselves and then show up in that way for everybody.
Yeah, it's true.
Yeah, very good point.
Okay, so we talked about a lot of great things today, and you have so much insight and impact. And so what is one message you'd love to leave with the next generation about making a lasting impact?
I heard Assemblywoman Lori Wilson talk at this Parents as Leaders graduation that Children's Network of Solano County led. And she was talking about love of community. And all I can say is that I have a love relationship with Solano County. Like, that's why I'm here. I love my community. And it's okay to feel that way.
Me too.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, right? We all do.
That's why we're all sitting here.
That's why we're here, right?
Yes.
I just didn't want to make any assumptions.
No. You're 100% right.
And so it's like, how do we really allow ourselves to lead with love? Mm-hmm. And to show up in that way for our community during hard times? Because financially, we know that cities' budgets are going to be getting harder. Things are going to be cut. We have a lot of other things that are impacting our communities with fear and uncertainty, right? So how do we show up with heart, humanity, and just say like, hey, I love my community. I love my neighbors. We may be different, but like, I'm going to show up with love and just let that guide and be vulnerable, because we can have our hearts still broken, right? But that's what I think is going to get us through, because it can be really easy to turn an eye. It can be really easy to close our hearts and say, I need to protect myself from this because this is really scary. But if we protect and go in, then we're not building community.
Right.
We're not going to show up and listen to those stories like we need to. Mm-hmm. So I think that's what I want to leave here with, is saying I'm willing to be a partner in this and really show love and be around other people who are showing that love too, because I think we can do a lot and really have big impact in the next few years and for the next decade or for the next generation, right? Or generation after, so that our kids can see that we love and that they can love too.
Yes.
Wow, that's so great.
That is great. With that beautiful message to our listeners, we will wrap this episode. Thank you so much for being here. And goodbye from all of us hosts.
Thank you all. You're all amazing. Thank you for having me. Oh, and sitting here at your table, like allowing me to be here in your home.
We are very happy you're here, and happy birthday from all
of us. Yes, happy birthday. Go maybe celebrate today.
Yes, once we turn this off, listeners, we'll sing happy birthday to her.
Thank you.
Goodbye. Till next time.
Bye.
This podcast is sponsored by Talkspace. You know when you're really stressed or not feeling so great about your life or about yourself? Talking to someone who understands can really help. But who is that person? How do you find them? Where do you even start? Talkspace. Talkspace makes it easy to get the support you need. With Talkspace, you can go online, answer a few questions about your preferences, and be matched with a therapist. And because you'll meet your therapist online, you don't have to take time off work or arrange childcare. You'll meet on your schedule, wherever you feel most at ease. If you're depressed, stressed, struggling with a relationship, or if you want some counseling for you and your partner, or just need a little extra one-on-one support, Talkspace is here for you. Plus, Talkspace works with most major insurers, and most insured members have a $0 copay. No insurance? No problem. Now get $80 off of your first month with promo code SPACE80 when you go to Talkspace.com. Match with a licensed therapist today at Talkspace.com. Save $80 with code SPACE80 at Talkspace.com.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job post seen on other job sites. With Indeed sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Don't wait any longer. Speed up your hiring right now with Indeed. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/kidsandfamily. Just go to Indeed.com/kidsandfamily right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.